Log Talk Radio.
Tell my baby naked hat. Ride the cop till you get the spot. Tell my baby naked hat.
Doing it doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow wow, yippee yo, yippee. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow wow, yippee yo, yippee.
And welcome back.
And
one of the most historic speeches ever given, we have to have that open it up.
Well, so, naked is naked.
Yes, we're here, we're here, we're here. Thanks to nobody over there, there, there.
Right.
All right. Let's go right to Obama. He's still excellently out. He's actually very boring so far, so looks a little stiff.
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
I received an extraordinarily gracious call from Senator McCain. Senator McCain fought long and hard in this campaign. He fought even longer and harder for the country that he loved. He has endured sacrifices for America that most of us cannot begin to imagine. We are better off for the service rendered by this brave and selfless leader. I congratulate him. I congratulate Governor Palin for all that they've achieved. And I look forward to working with them to renew this nation's promise in the future. I want to thank my partner, a man who campaigned from the heart and spoke the men and women he grew up with on the streets of Scranton and rode with on the train home to Delaware, the Vice President-elect of the United States, Joe Biden. And I would not be standing here tonight without the unyielding support of my best friend for the last 16 years, the rock of our family, the love of my life, the nation's next First Lady, Michelle Obama. Sasha and Leah, I love you both more than you can imagine. You have earned the new puppy that's coming with us to the White House. And while she's no longer with us, still my grandmother's wife, along with the family that made me who I am, I miss them tonight. I know that my debt to them is God's debt. To my sister Maya, my sister Alma, all my other brothers and sisters, thank you so much for all the support that you've given me. I'm grateful to them. To my campaign manager, David Plum. The unsung hero of this campaign, who built the best political campaign, I think, in the history of the United States of America. To my chief strategist, David Axelrod, who's been a partner with me every step of the way. To the best campaign team ever assembled in the history of politics, you made this happen, and I am forever grateful for what you've sacrificed to get it done. But above all, I will never forget who this victory truly belongs to. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. I was never the elected candidate for this office. We didn't start with much money or many endorsements. Our campaign was not hatched in the halls of Washington.
began in the backyards of Des Moines, in the living rooms of Concord, in the front porches of Charleston. It was built by working men and women who dug into what little savings they had to get $5, $10, and $20 to the cause. It grew strength from the young people who rejected the myth of their generation's apathy, who left their homes and their families for jobs that offered little pay and less sleep. It drew strength from the not-so-young people who braved the bitter cold and scorching heat to knock on doors of perfect strangers, and from the millions of Americans who volunteered and organized and proved that more than two centuries later, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people has not perished from the earth. This is your victory. Do this just to win an election. I know you didn't do it for me. You did it because you understand the enormity of the task that lies ahead. For even as we celebrate tonight, we know the challenges that tomorrow will bring, the greatest of our lifetime. Two wars, a planet in peril, the worst financial crisis in a century. Even as we stand here tonight, we know there are brave Americans waking up in the deserts of Iraq and the mountains of Afghanistan to risk their lives for us. There are mothers and fathers who will lie awake after their children fall asleep and wonder how they'll make the mortgage, or pay their doctor's bill, or save enough for their child's college education. There's new energy to harness, new jobs to be created, new skills to build, and threats to meet, alliances to repair. The road ahead will be long. Our climb will be steep. We may not get there in 1 year or even in one term. But America, I have never been more hopeful than I am tonight that we will get there. I promise you, we as a people will get there. We know the government can't solve every problem, but I will always be honest with you about the challenges we face. I will listen to you, especially when we disagree. Above all, I will ask you to join in the work of remaking this nation the only way it's been done in America for 221 years. Block by block, brick by brick, calloused hand by calloused hand. What began 21 months ago, in the depths of winter, cannot end on this autumn night. This victory alone is not the change we seek. It is only the chance for us to make that change. And that cannot happen if we go back to the way things were. It can't happen without you, without a new spirit of service, a new spirit of sacrifice. So let us summon a new spirit of patriotism, of responsibility, where each of us resolves to pitch in and work harder and look after not only ourselves but each other. Let us remember that if this financial crisis taught us anything, it's that we cannot have a thriving Wall Street while Main Street suffers. In this country, we rise or fall as one nation, as one people. Let's resist the temptation to fall back on the same partisanship and pettiness and immaturity that has poisoned our politics for so long. Let's remember that it was a man from this state who first carried the banner of the Republican Party in the White House, a party founded on the values of self-reliance and individual liberty and national unity. Those are values that we all share. And while the Democratic Party has won a great victory tonight, we do so with a measure of and determination to heal the divide, to help back on progress. As Lincoln said to a nation far more divided than ours, we are not enemies, but friends. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection.
for those Americans whose support I have yet to earn. I may not have won your vote tonight, but I hear your voice. I need your help, and I will be your president too.
We hope, and where we are met with cynicism and doubt, and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Thank you. God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
Well, there you have it, the inaugural EXO address.
Yeah.
Man, is that flat. I mean, can't he throw in like a Bubba there, like, baby? We made it. You know, something. There's
well,
this, I don't know. He's just, look at him.
He's smiling and stuff. I think he's just so overwhelmed.
I think he's just saturated. And EXO never got this much attention as with a head exploding.
Yeah.
I mean, when's the last EXO president that, you know, I guess Bush won, 41. He didn't make any inspiring speeches, though. Yeah, great my way.
There he is.
Here comes Nico. Hello.
Come on, Nico. He was taking a nap. Little chair coma.
Out. Oh, why didn't he come out wearing sunglasses? That would have been even better. Hello, he says.
That's a happy man.
Oh, he just won the lottery. The stinking lottery.
Man, he really is Eco, isn't he?
Oh, my
Look
goodness.
Look at those eyes.
If you want...
he is high on life.
If you ever doubted what profile he was, he came out, I'm telling you, he should have sunglasses and a giant beer in his hand.
He almost had, like, the Bill Clinton eyes going on.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, he was almost... from last time he fell asleep on the stage. Clinton... Oh, man. He's in his bathroom somewhere now. Who knows where he is? He's nowhere near this, I guess.
No, he's up here with me.
Man. Well, you know what? I mean, Hillary, for all her hauntiness, she really killed off that Puma thing. They all voted for him in Pennsylvania. All the women. The white women. Jesse, I can't figure you out. I cannot figure out why you're crying. Here come the women.
Yep.
Yeah. I like Joe's wife.
Yeah, she's pretty neat.
Yeah, she's
this
got
this one I'm not too sure about, but the...
Michelle, back up. Michelle scares me.
On toe.
Yeah, she scares me.
Only an Eco could handle an on toe like that.
Yeah, and you know, the little Phyla wearing the green dress, very nice. Oh, the group hug.
This is great. Look at this.
Oh, yeah, we got a little Barama on blonde action there. Tremendous.
Wow.
Yes. So anyone wants to order a copy of Nailin' Palin', it'll be available on eBay in the morning. She didn't make any speeches, that little hump.
No.
Go back to your igloo.
Yeah.
Moron. There'll be a snowmobile race this weekend you can win.
This is just blowing my mind that this actually happened.
Mm. So if you're a moose in Alaska...
She's going to go shoot a few just out of frustration. Yeah.
Well, I keep hearing that she has, because I don't know if that guy won the Senate seat, the guy that was indicted up there, if he won tonight. If he wins, then they're going to get him out. They're going to have to fill a Senate seat. And she has to, as the governor, you know, have like a runoff election by like January. And then she might recuse herself of being the governor and run as the Republican senator from Alaska. To get into Washington.
The kids are up.
Come the kids. That's it. With the puppy. With the puppy, damn it.
Those are two good-looking kids right there.
Oh, they're the Huxtables.
They're the Huxtables. Sweet-looking.
Yeah. So we got to put up with Chelsea, who was... she looks good now, but she was hideous as a kid.
Oh, I don't know what the hell... Well, look at her mother.
37 Bidens on the plane going to Chicago tonight.
Minya.
He's got a family, man. How old is Biden's mother? 107?
Yeah, something like that.
Freaking longevity in these shapes.
This is just wow.
I'm impressed.
Me too.
I'm impressed. All right, we're switching gears here because the lovely and talented over at Blog Talk effed us in the ear again, as they want to do.
That's nice. You know, please. 12:20, and I got to hear this guy.
Tomorrow is off the day. So let me just see. Hang on a second here. I'll be right back.
There she is. Look.
Who?
What's her name? Biden.
Mama Biden.
Yeah, look at her. Oh.
She's like the Where's the Beef woman. That's what she looks like.
Yeah, except yeah. She's not fat like her. Yeah.
Where's the beef? I tell you what, I don't want to be that old.
So why not? She looks like she's having fun.
The hell with that. I'm 40, almost 44 years old. If I had to live another 50 years and rot around, my insides would be rotten worse than the pumpkin on the front steps of my apartment now.
Brother. Hey, speaking of birthdays and stuff,
yeah.
Don't forget mine is the 12th. What are you getting?
That's right. Well, I don't know. A free show on Blog Talk Radio.
That's great.
All right, hold on a second. You can put the sound on your end if you have it. I just got to queue up this Dooley thing. I'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah, I have it here. I mean, you're not hearing much of sound except the interesting little crescendo going on here. What energy, man. It's a different world. Wow. Still waiting for those other few states to come through just for ho-hos. I don't know why they haven't finished counting. Oh, a bunch of cute kids. Not a clue how historic this is. They just know they got to stay up late tonight. Wow. All these people need a nap. It's been a long road. Wow. Okay, off they go. Wow. Wonder what Bush is thinking right now. We haven't seen much of him.
All right, I'm back.
Good, I've been talking to myself, but I've been having fun.
All right. We got about 5 minutes of this Dooley interview. Basically, wonkasphere.net tracked a lot of the stuff in the elections on the blogosphere. I had a couple more questions for Kevin Dooley, so we're going to play that little 5-minute snippet and see if our West Coast guest chimes in.
All right, I'll keep an eye on the switchboard.
Yes, watch the switchboard. And then we'll be back to riff on that. And we also have the rant from Matt McCoy on the healthcare, which is hilarious. So here's a little more of my good friend Kevin Dooley.
There just aren't that many blogs that have coverage of both sides. And so an independent voter doesn't really have blogs to go to except for kind of the mainstream news sites.
So just looking at things a little demographically here, the youth vote has been this big issue for, I think this is probably the third or fourth campaign, even the second time Clinton came through, this whole thing about we're going to get the youth vote out. They never seem to show up. And this time we're only early voting, everything seems like it might happen. What's the influence of YouTube? What's the influence of viral videos? What's the influence of these Saturday Night Live clips on these first-time, second-time voters that maybe don't have, you know, a stake in it from experience, but they're going more on the mood, they're going more on the wave of emotion. So do you think those things play out? Because they live on the web, those kids.
You know, I think it plays out, and maybe importantly, it plays out an effect maybe at a 4 or 6 year lag. Because, you know, my kids are the oldest is 17, so she's still 1 year away from voting, and the youngest is 12, and so most of their exposure to the campaign has been through these viral videos on YouTube, and so there's simply a lot more, or even, you know, the Saturday Night Live skits. They're a lot more tuned in to the fact that there is a political process, that it is contentious, that there are, you know, opposing ideologies, and that's something that they wouldn't, you know, they don't sit down and watch network news or read the daily newspaper. So I think they're being, for better or worse, they're being acculturated to the political process and are probably much more likely to participate in it when they hit 18.
So you think going forward, the next time we're looking at like a midterm election into 2010 or 2012, that this type of environment, the wonkosphere and all the things we've been talking about here is going to be more of a primary influence going forward generationally? Or do you think this is going to be the future, or are we still going to be basically bouncing between the sky and the ground as far as the way the campaigns are run?
Oh, I think that we'll, to predict ahead 4 years, quite honestly, we'll have a little bit more of the same, just more intense, but there'll be things that we can't even imagine today that are probably going to shape how the Internet affects the political race. Whether it comes down to maybe the candidates using the Internet more effectively for kind of market testing their policies, or using it in ways to more effectively manage ground operations. There's going to be some new novel thing that somebody comes up with that we can't imagine right now.
Okay, well, I'm just just finally one more thing. What role do you think, if anything, came from the international scene looking at the election through the Wonka Spheres lens? Did you get any feedback from other countries about, what this election's about? Because the issues that we've had the last two times, just about the process in general, I remember just even going back as far as the 2000 election where on Chaos Psych listserv there was a lot of different opinions from Australia and other countries about, the way that we don't turn out and the election's fair. Did you get anything from internationally this time through?
Absolutely. And, the international political fan is just the political junkie par excellence, because they're not necessarily invested in either of the parties. They may have a vested interest one wins or not, but if they're paying that much attention to a foreign election, they're really political junkies, and so they just totally they love any gossip, anything that they can learn about the process of how it works.
You're sort of the TMZ.
Yeah.
The political TMZ.
That's exactly right, yeah.
All right, well, again, WonkaSphere.net, I guess it was Saturday, you guys said that based on the buzz, I guess it was a 30 or 40% higher buzz for Obama, you're predicting Obama tonight, and it's almost 6 o'clock in the East as we speak, and it's the buzz all day has been he's going to get north of 300 electoral votes, so I guess we'll just wait and see, because you know what, it always matters how they count them, not how they exit in this country. So we'll see how it plays out. But anyone wants to know anything more about it, they can go visit WonkaSphere.net. And it's, let me just have it here. It's Crawdad Technologies, which is crawdadtech.com for anything you want to work with Kevin and his partners over there. So have a good night over there in the western side of the country. I know you're going to have a lot of McCain supporters rallying around there. I think Sarah Palin's probably in your airspace about now, coming back from Alaska.
Well, I'll tell you, we live in a suburb and the Phoenix suburb, and I got to say, probably Obama stickers on cars and posters in the front of homes is probably running 5-1 to McCain.
Wow.
So.
That must do him proud. He's had a rough week out west. I mean, all these states that were in his pocket in 2004, like someone said this morning, I think it was on NBC. It's like someone took a bucket of blue paint on the Canadian border and just poured it down on top of the country, and the Republicans are becoming like a Southern party again, almost like 180 degrees from where it was about 40 years ago. So
that's right. The West has brought change.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll ride them, cowboy. Well, thanks for your time. We really appreciate contacting me like this and joining in on the night that might become something to check in your box as a night that you were alive. It's definitely interesting and always fascinating. Your stuff's always amazing to me, so anyone want to know about it, it's Kevin Dooley. Spell his name, 00. And thanks for joining us here on Naked Soma, and we'll talk soon.
All right, have a great one. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right, the eco-to-eco conversation
right.
Winding down.
We always do better with the ecos on the show.
Yeah, so far we've had nothing but ecos. We had Mota Ferry and David Goodman, and it's just eco-central. Any sign of the Anto in the Northwest?
Oh, hold on.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there he is. Shall we click?
On cue, yes.
There it is.
Joining us from a hilltop somewhere. Maybe there's some moose running for cover. We have Dr. Robert Affolter as the wilderness shakes.
Good evening. So,
hello.
Good evening. Yes.
It's getting pretty late your way.
No, we don't know. For me, this is nothing. Shank of the evening. Are you kidding? I'm just making my little the turn of the head of the stretch. I haven't even begun to do website stuff yet. That starts at 1 o'clock.
Oh, brother.
But you sit back there 3 hours behind everybody, and this kind of just unfolds. By the time you get home, it's over.
That's right. God, we're glad they waited to call it until we at least had time to vote.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those weird things, because early this morning here, you know, all you heard about were these long lines in the city, and everybody was complaining they couldn't get to work, and I didn't even plan on voting until the afternoon. I got there was like, you know, three people there, and then the crowd started getting bogged down again around 6 o'clock, but everybody pretty much got through the day without too many incidents out here, but it just seemed like once Pennsylvania, you know, was locked in, maybe 9:30, 20 to 10 our time, it became sort of like New Year's Eve. We just were waiting, look for the ball to drop. And it was like a combination, like I said before, of like, you know, the O.J. trial, Muhammad Ali fighting the George Foreman, you know, with this reverence for all this stuff. And all the issues, all the things. I mean, William Ayers is in Grant Park right now. He's there. So the domestic terrorist is sitting somewhere in the park.
Yeah.
And I just find it sort of like, it's almost like a pregnancy and a birth. And maybe you can liken this in chiropractic to when you go through your training and you go through your all your things you do in your school, and then you go take your state board and you get licensed, and then you go and open your practice, and then you go and expand your practice. It's almost like these graduated levels, fractal, if you will, where you forget the entire, like, campaign. Like, you can't remember the primary season. You can't remember the things that happened since the conventions. It's all gone, and we're all in the park singing Kumbaya. 2-3 days ago, this guy had more things pinned to him than he was, like, you know, had every ideology in the world, you know, sticking out of his back. And now he's basically Lincoln and, you know, like I said, Muhammad Ali, and it's all those things rolled into one. So from your perspective, I mean, you saw what happened in JVSR that day. We're going to get to Matt in a minute here. Do you really think that, like he said, this just punched the ticket to make some changes, because we got
right.
The people that wouldn't change things out of the way. Do you really think that this night alone is going to usher in some type of healthcare glasnost where we're just going to all get it all of a sudden?
Well, it's pretty interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what we wind up doing. I started writing an open letter I hope to have published, but even during that, I find myself changing sides and trying to decide where I really stand on this. I first wrote a paper on HMOs back when I was I must have been a freshman in college, so back in the 70s when HMOs was a new idea, and Kaiser Permanente, or however you say that last word, was in California just getting started. And back then we talked about, you know, major medical insurance. I had a policy when I was a young father of major medical insurance, and I had a $5,000 deductible, but it was something I could afford. And I had a $5,000 credit card, so I figured I was covered. Well, these days you don't even talk about major medical. You don't even talk about medical insurance. You talk about access to health care, and whether you have health care insurance or not is what you're really talking about. So we've changed, in my lifetime, we've changed this whole attitude toward health care from a medical treatment of diseases to thinking you're actually going to be healthy or not based on whether you go to a doctor or not, or whether you're getting some kind of care. So my first thought was we needed to kind of go back to, you know, my first inclination, I guess, is always a more conservative approach of going back to just treating conditions and eliminating anything else from a federal program, make a federal program like a safety net where we're actually treating conditions, lower everybody's taxes enough for their health care costs so that they could afford something else. They could afford chiropractic or massage or acupuncture or counseling or whatever, and then see what happens. But then as I thought about it more, I thought, gee, you know, maybe we really could afford everything. If we took all the money that we're spending on secretaries and clerks and people denying our bills and all the money we're paying for people to try to get the claim submitted again and, you know, all these where we're not getting a nickel's worth of care, what if we eliminated all that expense and just said, okay, look, here's what you get. You get 12 massages a year or whatever. After that, you're on your own. You get, you know, so much chiropractic. You get so much what if we just did everything and paid for it on a national level? Pretty soon we'd have statistics to know what's working and what isn't.
Yeah, I think
and
one of the problems with that
just changed me.
Yeah, it's sad because one of the problems with that is that the paperwork that they've made just sort of like almost integral to the process, where you have to prove you're sick in order to get well. And then if you're doing something that's proactive and doing something that, that actually has, you know, some legs to it, that, that you can do longitudinal care, you know, without having to have these sort of like, you know, these, what do they call them? Oh, the oxymoron. Oh, the medical necessity, you know, to get the care. It was touched upon last hour by David Goodman. At some point, it's like the Shakespearean thing, fair is foul, foul is fair. At some point, the drug culture, the allopathic gods, said, this is mainstream, to drug you, and to stick you with vaccines, and to put fructose in your food and poison your brain, all the other things he listed. And so it's sort of like commoditized or made sort of popular in sort of a population sense, not like everyone was loving it, this mindset of having an underdeveloped brain and having a codependent population. And the stuff that we were doing suddenly became fringe and quackery and all the other weird stuff. And we're the more conservative approach, you know. So they're actually the more high risk, yet they get to be the first ones at the door. They have, you know, a symbiotic relationship with the schools, and they have, you know, the money behind them and all that. So it just seems like, you know, we were talking about before, that people are suddenly starting to, you know, individually, not collectively yet, are suddenly starting to wake up and say, wait a minute, every single time I listen to them, I get sicker. And every single time I venture out into this fringe stuff, I seem to get better. So it's like you're moving past the alternative, that kind of nicey-nice alternative, that little allopathic purgatory where you can get your Prozac and you can get your herbs and you get, you know, and you're getting out into the woo world, out into the unknown, where there's no streets and there's no guidance and there's no permission slips. There's just basically you taking a responsibility for your health, as you said the last time we had you on. And that side of it, the patient responsibility side of it, to me, is the missing ingredient here. We've had absolutely none of that, and the lifestyle has gotten more and more and more out of balance, and then the interventions had to get more and more heroic, and so that addiction, that sort of, you know, shepherd and a sheep, it seemed to be perpetuated. So I don't know how we change it.
Well, one of the things I think we can be the most hopeful of, based on tonight's election, is that things really can be changed, and they can be changed based on, look at what Obama was able to do through the internet, through, you know, different information and media systems. He was able to get out a message and defeat the machine that was already in power. It's
yeah.
Pretty incredible if you think about it, and we're a part of that right now, this minute. We're starting something and just starting the conversation, and we just need to expand that thought.
Yeah, I think, like I said, we got our foot in the door here. And now we got to kick the door down, and a lot of that's going to depend on basically how much responsibility the practitioners want to. Because you know, as Matt wrote about in one of his emails this week, is that even if the whole thing sort of fell at the feet of the sort of the non-allopathic profession, so to speak. Are they ready to pick up the mantle and run with it? And he listed a bunch of things that had to be done in order to make sure that, you know, the paint would dry. And in reality, no, we're not ready. There's no, you know, the research model isn't there, and the infrastructure isn't there, and the school systems are still very isolated. So, you know, it's going to be a fit and start situation, because the allopaths, you know them, they're going to circle the wagons, and they're going to basically, you know, repackage it and sell it right back to you. So I don't know how I think healthcare itself is going through a sort of an internal metamorphosis, because it's going to break, just like the housing market and the other things broke, because it's too top heavy, and you're going to see hospitals close, and you're going to see just a lot of stuff happen that before could have been floated and sort of like, you know, they could restart the engine. I think now you're going to see, you know, more people going without care, more people going without insurance, because the system is set up to sort of almost leave people hanging a lot, and that's where guys like us and you know and professors like Val that understand the system is flawed, and if you're leaning on education to get smart, and if you're leaning on the government to feel protected, and if you're leaning on healthcare to be well, you're gonna fall. You're gonna fall on your nose. So you know, that's why I think this is one of those things where, okay, maybe the overt you know, sort of exploitation of the population might calm down a little bit, But now you got to hit the gas pedal and sort of you know, take some responsibility yourself, and we'll see how it goes. But right now it's sort of like one of those, you can just put your hands on your knees and just sigh because you got to a plateau, you're out of the foothills, and maybe the wolves won't bite at your heels so much. But I'm just waiting. I'm waiting to see. I don't know how it's going to end up. So, but when do you think you're going to get this letter up there?
Why don't you say that again?
Your op-ed letter.
I'm still working on it. I thought finish it just the other night, but then, you know, it occurred to me that maybe I want to take a little different tactic on this, especially on the healthcare part of it. I started out with the economic mess and my viewpoint on what was really going on there and went on to healthcare as the second part of it, but it's...
What's the tie-in? Do you see, is it more money first, then healthcare second, or is it? Or do you think that the healthcare can operate independent from the economics, that there's a low-tech way of teaching people to be healthy, you know, sort of, kind of what David Goodman talks about with, you know, just mood charting, things like that, understanding some things, you know, some fundamentals about the human body that maybe have slipped through the cracks, or do you think it is some of those things where the more money that's put behind, you know, drug-free living, whatever you want to call it, the better?
Well, I think we've got to figure out how to get a message out, and if we're going to do it, we got to figure out what the message is going to be. You know, people are just too confused. There's too many options, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. I get an email fairly regularly from an upper cervical educator. And, you know, the message is simple, and it's not true, but it's closer than what most people are hearing, you know, and it's simple enough that the average person will probably take it and actually live a better life from it. But, you know, that's one of my problems, and I suspect maybe one of yours is we tend to make things too complex. People can't quite follow it, and, you know, and even if it's closer to the truth, they can't understand it. It's like the movie, they can't handle the truth, you know. We got to make things simple enough that people can go, okay, now how do I do that? How do I apply that today? What can I do different?
Yeah, I've been accused of being nebulous lately.
Shut up. No, he's never nebulous.
Yeah.
Speaking of nebulous, Al Franken beats Norm Coleman.
Yeah, there you go. There's a headline.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the total was for the House tonight and all that. They got their 60 seats in the Senate and all that stuff.
I don't know. There's still a lot of stuff up in the air they're not telling us.
Yeah. What about Alaska? Is that in yet?
No, they don't close until 1.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, we're gonna fire up Matt's rant here. You can stick around and comment. And we'll come back and wrap up the show. So this is Dr. Matt McCoy basically sending his time capsule message to us about health care. You might want to step back from your radio. he's a little mad. So here it goes. Okay.
Well, hello. Well, hello, everybody. This is Dr. Matt McCoy, and I'm really thrilled to be here with you guys, at least in spirit. By the time you're listening to this, hopefully we're all celebrating something that happens good today. But anyway, Mark asked me to either call in or send something in to you, so I thought I'd send in some of my thoughts about what's going on and what the current discussion is. And I'm really just going to jump off of a recent few research updates that I sent out through JVSR and all having to do with this election and chiropractors and who to vote for and who not to vote for and who's evil and who's not evil and so forth. And what I did was I actually sent out three different emails. The first I sent out was just an email titled Obama Endorses Chiropractic, and I included a copy of his letter basically telling us how great we are. And, of course, I got back many, many emails hearing everything from quotes about Hitler even some actual thoughtful commentary about Barack Obama as president, what that would mean for healthcare and chiropractic. But most of what I got was just some nasty emails and people who thought I had lost my mind. So the next day I send out basically the same exact update, except this time McCain endorses chiropractic and basically got the same kind of responses. I got much more response from the Obama, both positive and negative, than I did the McCain update, but who knows what that really means. Nevertheless, I'm just amused by the whole thing, because in the third update I sent out, I basically, you know, let people know how I feel about the whole thing, and the reality that is that, you know, it's going to be the same old story no matter who gets elected president as far as chiropractic is concerned. You know, and this whole notion of and discussion about socialism and so forth that's been tied to Obama, I really just have to simply laugh at it, because it makes me wonder whether or not people are paying attention to those payroll taxes, that checks you write for those payroll taxes on a regular basis, and the reality that we already have socialized healthcare in this country. It's called Medicare, Medicaid. And then beyond that, we already have socialism in this country. I mean, just look at the bigger picture of things in terms of what I just said, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, you know, those payroll taxes that you write every month or every quarter, you know, that are going to pay for somebody else's bypass. I don't think anybody asked you whether or not you wanted to pay for their bypass or their version of what health care should be and that sort of thing, but you really don't have any choice. I mean, the mafia doesn't get away with this kind of stuff, but our federal government does. So somebody can live their entire life, completely abuse their body, not eat right, eat poorly, not exercise, drink like a fish, smoke like a chimney, and totally destroy themselves, develop metabolic syndrome, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and then when it comes time to deal with those things, they can basically just come to you and say, hey, give me $50,000 because I need a bypass surgery, I need a defibrillator put in, or I need my diabetes medication. So it's just absurd to think that we already don't live in a socialist system in this country. My wife and I just recently paid our property taxes for this year, and I have to laugh, and because if I didn't, I'd cry. But you know, you look at these property taxes, the property tax bill every year, and you look at what 90% of the money's going to. It's going to schools. It's going to fund the school system in and around where we live. Now, the funny thing is, I don't have any kids, so they're not in the school system. So I'm paying for somebody else's kids. And making matters worse, when we do have kids, we're not going to put them in the school system. So what the hell am I paying for? But there is, you know, no box to check off when I send in those payroll taxes to say, you know, look, the money that's going towards the schools, put it someplace else. So, you know, this notion that we aren't already socialist is just ridiculous. And look, the reality is, with either of the candidates, no matter who gets in at this point that I'm recording this, we don't know who's going to get in. But either way, any plan that chiropractic is included in is going to be based on the Medicare model. And that consists of basically 12 visits a year, you know, $30 or $40 for your adjustment, no reimbursement for any exams or any other things that you do. You know, spinal manipulation, corrective subluxation, and that's it. And the hell with anything else you do. You know, keep in mind that this is going on the same time that an osteopath can perform spinal manipulation to correct an osteopathic lesion and get paid for several areas that he adjusts. He can get paid for his exam, he can get paid for his x-rays, he can get paid for his other diagnostic tests that he does, and any other services he performs on that day. So, you know, it's this whole notion of these candidates in the government looking out for chiropractic is just ridiculous. And the other side of the equation, if it's not a Medicare model, then it's going to be a, you know, an American specialty health plan model, an ASHN model, which is worse than the Medicare plan because, you know, that's 6 visits. And it doesn't have anything to do with subluxation. It's got to have to do with neck pain, back pain, or headaches, because that's the reality of what we've allowed, you know, the leadership in this profession to the corner we've allowed them to paint ourselves into in terms of what we can help people with. It's just simply ridiculous. And I think we've got to understand the history of the problem. And even from a bigger perspective, you know, because there's all kinds of events that have come together to take us or bring us to where we are at this point in history relative to healthcare as far as our profession is concerned. And again, even in the bigger picture of things in healthcare in general. You know, if we go back to the plan for the Great Society after World War II, and this whole notion that employers should be responsible for healthcare, for providing healthcare, and that's carried on, you know, to this day, past the year 2000, it's just a ridiculous notion when you really think about it. And if we overlay on top of this, that during this period of time, starting in the 70s. We had this whole accountability train that left the station relative to healthcare outcomes, because that's when the outcomes movement was spawned in the early 70s. Started out in Vermont, where they did some studies and figured out that the type of healthcare you got depended upon where you lived. And everybody, you know, freaked out when the proverbial you know what hit the fan. And people started realizing that the healthcare they were getting was not based upon what they really needed or whether or not that healthcare was effective. It was just based upon whether or not the doctor that they happened to go to, you know, was going to perform that particular procedure or, you know, provide healthcare in that manner. So it's just a ridiculous notion. Now, this whole outcomes movement has carried forward to this day. You know, people think that this whole evidence-based healthcare, that it's some new thing that just sprung up all of a sudden. Well, the reality is that this thing started in the 70s. We had to go through the period of managed care because people thought that was going to be the solution. And, of course, when that didn't work, this whole notion of evidence-based healthcare came about. And now we see this really solidifying and taking roots. And it's probably going to carry us through the whole collapse of the healthcare system as we know it. And whatever emerges out of that collapse it will be based upon this whole notion of evidence-based healthcare or the evidence-based model. So I think it's important to get to know what that is, because this is certainly what's going to happen. There's no way, as far as any of these chief economists that are writing all the books on healthcare, there's no way that in their minds there's any way to turn around a ship this big. Healthcare consumes 16% of the gross domestic product of this country, and anything that big just cannot be changed. It's going to collapse, and then something's going to rise out of it. And then I think we've got to understand now how chiropractic is overlaid with all of this. You know, if we take our own history into consideration and go back to the early part of the turn of the century after the discovery and the founding of chiropractic, and we realize that chiropractors spent the better part or the early part of the century just trying to stay out of jail and not being accused of practicing medicine.
You missed the spot.
I can't take it. I can't find my stupid thing.
Once that was sort of behind us, although, you know,
hold on, I'm trying to find it on here.
There are still some chiropractors going to jail for chiropractic, only we don't really hear about
them. Crazy house.
They're the dirty little secret.
All right, I think I have it here. You want
but
me to
nevertheless,
shut it?
We went through this period of staying out
of
jail, and then we offer license.
Let me see.
That's it.
Hooray.
Okay, join us now on Eye Contact from an undisclosed location somewhere in the wilds of Arizona. We have with us Kevin Dooley from...
Stop it. I don't know why that started. Why?
That's tomorrow. And that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know why.
Oh, man, you're still there, RCA?
Yeah.
Can you do you understand why he's an academic now?
No kidding.
Oh, my God. Oh, Matt, come back to us. I listened to the first 2.5 minutes. I'm like, well, this can't go on for more than 5 minutes. 18 minutes later, he still hasn't got to the history of time was going to be covered, I think. Oh, my God. The gist of what Matt's trying to get at there was what we've kind of summarized in 5 minutes is that the system is really screwed up, and the chiropractors are even more screwed up.
The interesting thing is people like Matt have been predicting that it's going to collapse for 20 years.
Yeah.
And it still keeps muddling on.
Well, I mean, the chiropractic profession is sort of like, you know, the lizard that keeps growing back its legs. You know, every time you chop it up, it just keeps growing back because the people still actually find it mildly supportive. So, yeah, I mean, it does have a tendency to be...
The whole system, though. And chiropractic's becoming more and more, you know, I guess I'm just more hopeful than Matt is, and I'm not an academic. I'm out here doing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'm learning, and I guess I'm trying to discover how to do more of it, is just to become more involved. And they had a local meeting here. It was mostly the hospital gang, but they announced that, you know, healthcare providers were welcome to come to this thing. So I went to see what was going on, and it's a bunch of healthcare professionals and different people in my community trying to figure out where they want to take healthcare next, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically what they're trying to do is get geared up for whatever Obama's going to put down, make sure they soak up as much of the dough as they can. But anyway, I show up to this thing, and I put in the chiropractic perspective a little bit when I can, and mention that, you know, we're never invited to these things. You know, the chiropractic perspective's never asked for, and they said, if you want to play, you got to show up. And
we
just don't show up.
Yeah, well, we were taught separate and distinct, like, you know, like it was spaghetti and meatballs when I went to school. And
I went to school.
And they were talking merger of the ICA and the ACA was going on in the late 80s. So, this is like going back to when the dinosaurs roamed the earth and the Wilk case was fresh on the books, and we're talking all chiropractic jargon here anyway. But Matt's...
You make a good point. You do.
Yeah.
You make a good point.
So, you know, Matt's vision is I've known him a long time. He did... do a lot of things internationally. He's been to Russia. He's seen, you know, what the manual medicine guys think of chiropractic over there. And he absolutely knows what he wants to do. But this profession, like we had on the roundtable the last time, we had Chris Kent on there. Like they admitted, they frankly, that there's nobody inside the circle of the profession that's capable of doing what the profession needs to be done. And the people inside the circle have no interest to work with anyone outside the circle. So... you know, it's like ride a painted pony and the spinning wheel turns. Nothing changes. And that's why I can't, you know, put my mind to it. You know, I've got to rescue the profession that's left me an indentured servant for the last 18 years, you know, screaming and thumping their political jargon at everybody. So if you listen to the show and you go, why the hell are these two guys talking about chiropractic at 1 o'clock in the morning when Obama just got elected, I got no answer for you. We ended up here. You know, basically we're here. It's a...
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but anyway, this is one of those situations where as the country gets older and as David Goodman would forecast, sicker and more mentally ill because of all the fructose in our food, you know, we're going to have to reach out for things that involve, like you're saying, a little action. Little responsibility. So chiropractic is a participation sport. You have to show up to get adjusted. You have to show up to continue care beyond the fast temporary relief. We're very expensive as an aspirin. You know, I had someone in today that hurt her neck, and it was like, you know, the same old rock and roll. And that's better. Good. And I asked her. I said, tell me something now. That just cost you $50. You don't think that CVS would have had some little cheaper? You know, a little Doane's pill, you know, maybe $10 for the same relief. Because if you don't plan on doing anything I'm telling you here, then basically I'll plan on seeing you again the next time you can't move. And that's unfortunately, that's the shoebox money, the discretionary income that people leave to get the, you know, chiropractic care at this point. And I'm just trying to get the soma in someone's head. I can't help chiropractic with that, but... It's an interesting animal, the ride the chiropractic beast. It's like a warthog with one eye, and it runs around like some kind of crazy animal, and it, like you said, it seems to persist. It's sort of like Genghis Khan. It just keeps going, you know, we're dragging everyone with it. But we'll see what happens from here. I don't know. Obama wrote a letter. McCain wrote a letter. And, you know, the postman rings twice, and we'll see if they do anything new. But I really think that you're going to see the profession and a lot of the other ones that kind of rose up in the last 10 or 15 years, I'm thinking like PT and OT and some of the other Ts, are going to start working in these multidisciplinary clinics and as extensions of the gym, as extensions of the spas, as extensions of all these physical rejuvenation centers, things like that. And these boomers, as they get older, that their vanity is going to demand attention, and they're going to like the body work. They like the healing relationship stuff. So even the flaky Reiki crab might actually get involved with this. The energy psychology guys might get involved with this. So, you know, there might be a place at the table. Well, it might be a funky table, but we might find ourselves there one way or the other. I just don't know who's going to be paying for it. If it's going to keep coming out of the shoebox, then you're going to keep getting people that are going to come in and hunt and peck. And
well, you make me think of something else that I think is rather interesting, because I've been wondering, you know, one of the interesting points of Obama's campaign is how he actually put it all together. And he put it together as a liberal, and he mobilized all the youth. And if you really wanted to put together the next campaign, the next wave would be to come together as a conservative and mobilize all the baby boomers. And what we'd have to do is mobilize them on the idea that, hey, we got to take care of ourselves. We can't dump all our health care on our kids.
Well, I mean, that generation, you see it now in practice, that people between the ages of 40 and 60, they're still raising teenagers, and they're still putting their parents, and in some cases their grandparents, through their elder care, sometimes in the home. So they've got a generation dying, a generation getting very ill, and a generation that's trying to drive them to drink, that as they try to live their lives, and then the economy falls out in the middle of that. So, that age range is really pivotal. As these boomers get more and more, intensified as the population ages. I don't know where they're going to go other than the people like us. I mean, because the allopaths will just, like Goodman says, they just keep pickling them and stick them in the jar and winding them up like little robots, little cat toys. And it's like he said, ouch, I'm thinking. Anyone that thinks in this culture is unhappy. That's pretty much the rule. So you've been caught thinking on a Thursday. You must need this drug. Nobody thinks here. It's going to be interesting just the next year or two to see where they even begin to put this train wreck together. And, hopefully by then, we'll figure something out so that when the wind blows, that our sail will be pointing the right way. Because right now it's a pretty strong headwind going the other way, and it's tough sledding. Because even if you get people interested in care, they don't have the paradigm to really understand, how far-reaching it is. We're looking at something now with our work, with the somatic method. We're just trying to teach these shapes how to breathe and frickin' move. And if they don't want to move their arms and legs, just move your frickin' eyeballs, and they still get confused. So we're talking about inertia here, a huge amount of inertia, because it involves taking that initiative, taking that responsibility, and if it isn't to stop smoking, overcome depression, or lose weight, they ain't interested. We'll see what happens. But in the meantime, there's probably going to be more ED medications, and now they have one for the women, right? The sexual dysfunction stuff.
Please.
For the frigidaires.
Sexual dysfunction starts with getting married.
Well, that's another show.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to leave you with one thought.
Okay.
Daryl Ballmer, my first manager when I worked for IBM, once told me, in confusion lies opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have lots of opportunity coming our way.
Bartender, that's all I can say to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man, we'll talk to you down the line. Thanks for joining us here on Naked Sober on an after-hour show.
See you soon.
Take
Bye.
Care. Watch out for those moose.
Oh, jeez.
And there he goes.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's been an interesting couple of hours here in the BTR machine as it stuck a fork in our eye there at 11 o'clock. I guess what we'll have to end up doing here, because we get the two shows split, is at some point replay it, re-record it. Maybe we do that tomorrow. Maybe we don't, because we're mad. The scintillating Matt McCoy interview available in its entirety on blogsoma.net. And I want to, Matt gave us the props to promote it through JVSR. So if you're a JVSR subscriber, that's how he really talks. I just don't see how you connect all these dots anymore, because the issues that you're walking out the door with today, as you wake up in Obama's world tomorrow, they're the same. The economy's still screwed. We still got a tremendous crisis in healthcare. We still got all the other things that were there last week. You know, the racism, the paranoia, the class warfare, all the other crap is still there. So you have to figure out how you're going to face it yourself personally. And we offer the Somatic Method. And we'll be talking about that a little bit more tomorrow with our new pal, E.J. Winsing, Enrico Suave to his friends, who'll be joining us either from the Virgin Islands or from St. John in Canada. I don't know where he is, if he's Mr. Cold Miser or Mr. Heat Miser tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
And he's the author of the book I Am Sustainability, How the Human Body Can Heal the Planet. So we're going to be getting into some real woo green technology and education about sustainability around the world and the stuff that Obama got elected on tonight. You know, dawning of the new age and all that. And maybe we'll get into some of this stuff about healthcare too, because he really talks about it from the old Maslow triangle that you psychologists thumped in our heads like the old food chart.
The hierarchy of needs?
Yes, only he inverts it. And he can talk about that tomorrow. It's a very interesting concept. He gave a great talk at the Chaos Conference in February over in Boston University, and I was smitten with his ecosphere.net organization. So I promptly joined it because it says eco. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And his mindset is basically what Somatics talks about, having a relationship with your surroundings and having that extension of yourself through the surroundings. And, of course, then if the environment is part of you, you take better care of it. So it's tough to convince some dude in Newark that he has to rescue the polar bear, you know, while his car's getting stolen and his kids are getting beaten. But if he cleans up his neighborhood, maybe there's less crime. You know, that kind of stuff is really what he's coming from. So we'll get into that tomorrow night on our usual time, 9 p.m. Eastern, if the BTR server will have us. And then we have to take a little reflection. I think it's our 70th show right around there.
Wow.
We'll check the numbers tomorrow.
That's a lot of shows.
Yeah. And I'm in the middle of, you know, cracking a brainstone here on summerspace.net, so there's going to be some new vibrations coming through the airwaves soon to teach you guys how to live independently healthy, not rely on the fructose in your Fruit Loops as your brain rots like a pumpkin, and you end up you know, on David Goodman's S list, another academic
right.
That can't think straight.
Yep.
I mean, it was look at this. Look at the guys that Dooley's talking about. You know, basically we're all just programmed by the media. You got Goodman saying basically our brains are rotting in our heads. You got Matt, I don't know what the heck he's talking about, but he wasn't hopeful either. And leave it up to the Anto there to say, you know what, just do it yourself. With that falter. And when, you know, tomorrow we have a lovely Philo to entertain us with his eco music.
Joy.
Yeah. So there you go. That's pretty much what we got. We got Obama in the White House. Looks like 54-40 on the Senate floor.
That's
so
it. I'm just looking now, yeah.
Yeah, Democrats gained 5 seats.
They didn't get their 60.
No. 2 independents. I don't know what that means. I guess Lieberman and somebody else.
Oh, yeah. There it is. Yeah. I missed that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. So they didn't get. They got a majority, but they didn't get the 60, which I guess that gets them past, like,
the
filibustering,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does that mean that guy in Alaska won? Oh, did Alaska declare?
No. Well, it's 1 o'clock, so let me see if I can.
I just want to check that out.
All right, let me see. Yeah. None of the numbers on the election map are moving anymore.
Mm.
I mean, after he won, they just stopped. Let me see if I can find something. Alaska. Bring up the news.
I got the Yahoo map cooking now.
Let's see. What comes up? Palin cleared by Alaska. Oh, jeez. Shut up already.
Yeah, that was a total. I mean, well, 2 weeks ago she's sitting in the fryer, and now she's fine.
Yes, TFU already with that. Okay, let's see.
Very strange.
How strange that there's just nothing.
Yeah, I see nothing on Alaska yet. Let's flip around. See what Fox has to say. They're very interesting this time of night.
Here's the Alaska Elections website.
Oh, really? Okay.
Election results. Click here for general election information. Well, we already have the information. Election results. Let's see if there's anything here.
See, on CNN, they're saying it's 56 to 40 because they're counting the independents as not Republican. That's kind of cute. I don't see any Alaska news here.
No. This is, no.
Yeah, Alaska's got nothing. No returns yet, it says here.
Nope. There's nothing on their site. Well, it's only 10 after. I mean, they do have to count the damn things, don't they?
Oh, come on.
They have the polar bears helping them?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Eskimos, the fish and the baby seal, vote for McCain. And, the polar bear and the mountain lion will go with Obama. I mean, what the hell are we talking about?
I don't know, but it's 1:10 in the morning, and I am getting punchy, so we better sign off before I start saying inappropriate crap.
Do we have any sign-off stuff that's out here that we can
punch-easy
in here?
God, I've had it, man. What a long day. One user still in the chat room. That would be me. How pathetic. Switchboard. All right, let's see if there's anything.
You know who voted for it? Might never know. That one.
There you go. That one is in the White House.
Across this country, this is the agenda I have set before my fellow prisoners. And the same standards of clarity and candor must now be applied to my opponent.
Poor guy.
And one more.
Read my lips.
To this I say.
A judo. What's up, jump, jump. Judo. What's up, jump, jump.
Gotta love it.
Oh, man.
I can't take it anymore.
All right, hang on long enough so I can open my Napster here, because we need a song to take us out.
What kind of song?
Oh, I don't know, a little Motown, maybe.
Motown would be good.
Yeah, California was pretty close, 53-47. He didn't lose that by much.
It was pretty scary.
Look at that, it was 2 million to 1.8. I thought that was in the damn bag. He barely won that state.
Yeah.
That scares me, because that's 55 freaking votes. I mean, it wouldn't have cost him the election, but man. I think what's happening is whatever red and blue was is up for grabs now, because these guys campaigned in all 50 states. They didn't just, like, ignore part of the country, you know?
No. Yeah, they were something.
So let's see. We need a little, I'm going to go for... Oh, man. Let's see if I can find them here. I'm going to go completely off the map here for a second. You can get the campaign trail mix for John McCain on Napster now. That's up there.
Oh, my.
I'm sure that's very enjoyable. All right, then. We'll play us out with this. And we'll see you tomorrow night at 9 o'clock local time. There we go. For the Blues Brothers in Chicago.
A little loud.
Everybody
the moocher.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God.
We're here at Naked Summer. He won, goddammit!
Woohoo!
Goddamn America!
Oh, here's a story about Minnie the moocher.
There you go. Everybody do your eco dance.
She was the roughest, toughest
frail.
Oh, yeah.
The heart as big as a whale.
Here we go.
Hide, 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 hide.
Hide, 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 hide. Oh! Heedy, 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 heedy. Oh!
cookie. He took her down to Chinatown, and he showed her how to kick the gong.
Break it down there. Hidey, hidey, hidey.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
I love this song. It's a very good bar song. I love when he picks up the pace here at the end.
Oh yeah. You're insane, you know that, right?
Here comes the boo, here we go.
Yeah, you've lost it.
No, this is the best.
She sat around and counted them all a million times. Hide,
hide, hide, hide.
Hide, hide, hide.
Night.
You know, every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice. Easy. There's just one thing. You see, we've never, ever been nothing. Finish.